everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20, because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast, and I'm afraid being cheap is not going to help me today.
No, not at all.
So normally we're talking food and wine and all of that, but a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is holiday gifting. This is our annual holiday gift-giving show. We love it every year, and I got to say, let's start off with a hello to our friend Chris Houck, who is the wine expert of wine experts, and he's brought in bubbly and wines and all of that.
Not just any bubbly. He's brought in, like, really good bubbles.
Why don't you pop something so we can hear the pop?
Right, and get the party started. Just a little rune art to get your morning going.
So Friday night we were at Centralina in City Center, D.C. for dinner after the Fritz and the Tantrum Hilton Honors concert.
Fitz and the Tantrum.
Too drunk to.
Totally.
Fritz, whatever.
Well, start. We were at the Conrad first, and we were there because they were doing a huge Hilton Honors experience, which we got to be a part of. So they rolled out this real big party, and then they had Fitz and the Tantrums play, and it was a ton of fun. We had such a good time. And then we sort of snuck out because there was a big party afterwards, but we really wanted to hit up Amy Brandwine's restaurant, Centralina, and had.
She wanted a date just with me.
Yeah, that's also true. And had a delicious, delicious evening.
All right. So as long as we were down, I mean, it's perfect timing. We were down at City Center, D.C., and we're going to be talking a lot about gift giving and City Center, D.C. today. Timothy Lowry's in. He is the man at City Center, D.C. He's the general manager, and he's got all kinds of information about not just holiday gift giving, but they've got some really cool special events down there too. Also joining us from City Center, D.C. are Joshua Trusty. He's the store director at Carolina Herrera, and he's brought in all kinds of suggestions for what to wear and gift ideas
and what to buy what to buy.
Seriously, should have left my cards at home.
Yes.
And Felix Johnson, who's the store manager at Alexis Batara, is in. Are you wearing your earrings?
I am. I'm wearing my earrings.
We go again.
I know how to show.
So we're going to be talking to Felix. And also, there's a great event that happens downtown every year. D.C. Brow and Think Local First are partnering on the 7th annual D.C. Brow Holiday Market on Small Business Saturday. That's November the 30th. D.C. Brow's Mary Rodell is in with Mel Afzel. Am I saying it right, Mel? I did it. She's the co-founder of Krampusnacht D.C.
I'm not even going to try to say that. I am never going to be able to pronounce that.
I can say Wollen Sie eine Handtaschenkaufen,
I know you
too.
Can. Mm-hmm. I know. I've heard
Anyways,
it.
We're going to be hearing about Krampus and the holiday market and all of that. And then Chris is here as well, and we're going to be, let's do a quick toast.
Okay. All so right. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers,
those
everyone.
Who have.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Let's
all
kick
right.
it off right.
So before we get going on the show here, let's talk to Mitch Berliner, who's out at Central Farm Markets. It's cold out, but the markets are
red hot
with
produce. But you got to support those farmers.
That's right. What do you got out there, Mitch?
Well, it was cold this morning, but it's not now. It's close to 60 degrees. Beautiful. The sun is shining. So come on out and do support the farmers.
That sounds like fake news, I just want to say.
No. It's for real. I'm standing out here. I already took my coat off.
Oh.
But first, the most important thing is to shout out to our veterans. Tomorrow's Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
So freedom ain't free. And if it wasn't for the vets, we wouldn't be living the life
are.
So
true
a big
that.
Shout
Very
out
true.
To them.
Mm-hmm.
My father landed in Normandy. My grandfather was a World War I vet. And millions and millions of others.
Little known fact, Max Nellis was deployed to Afghanistan a number of years ago. So we join you in that.
There you go.
Absolutely.
So salute out to them.
Tell us what's happening at the markets today.
Well, we're just loaded here with the normal goodies. We still have heirloom tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers and all that kind of stuff due to greenhouses. And we now have our first persimmons of the year.
Can we talk about persimmons? Because I don't think a lot of people know what to do with them. What is a good recommendation of what to do with them? They're sort of difficult if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, there's two things you can do with the persimmons. You can, eat them hard, the variety that's generally sold. You can eat them without them being soft.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great in salads. You can even turn them into chips in your oven, but by drying them out, they're really good like that. Again, I like putting them, you know, in my salad. I always like to put a fruit in my salad. Asian pears, we got plenty of the varieties of those, and different kinds of pears. I love that with some cheese.
Man, I
in
love
my
Asian
salad. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, you can wait till they're really mushy and ripe, super sweet, and you can make breads out of them. And my favorite personal thing is persimmon pudding, which is actually steamed, and it's an English tradition. And
like a toffee sticky pudding fabulous kind of thing?
Yes, and it's steamed, and you just incorporate the very soft pulp of the persimmon. So that's great. And I did want to start talking about our gift baskets.
Yes. Perfect timing.
We have a vet, by the way, who served in Afghanistan and Iraq here, who makes the most beautiful bowls. I think you've probably seen them when you've come to the market. And what's special, besides being beautiful and being made by a vet, is he gets down trees from historic properties like Mount Vernon when the trees need to be taken down or they fall down. So some of the bowls are from trees that are 200 years old from George Washington's property.
That's pretty cool. All right, Mitch, we're going to have to move on. Will you please remind everybody where the markets are?
I will do that. I will indeed. We are open year-round at Nova Central Farm Market on the parking lot of the George C. Marshall High School every Sunday, 9 to 1. And we are at the Bethesda Elementary School. And we are here from 9 to 1:30 in downtown Bethesda. So come and see us, and thank you, and learn more at centralfarmmarkets.com.
Great. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
You got it, guys.
All right,
take care.
Chris, bye-bye. Belly up to the microphone here. What have you poured us? This is delicious.
Probably one of my favorite champagnes for everyday and special occasion drinking. This is Ruinart Blanc de Blanc.
Well, tell us a little bit about it, because Ruinart has a very special name in the champagne world. Let's hear why.
Absolutely. Ruinart was the first official house in Champagne in 1729 to ever make champagne sparkling as we know it.
I think I helped build the house, actually.
What's that?
I think I was there helping to build it.
The founder was also in the banking and textile industry, and he started sending out bottles of his champagne to his best customers. And as it turns out, he was much better at making champagne than he was at making textiles. So the champagne business took off, and what we have in the glass today is Ruinart's Blanc de Blanc. That simply means white of whites. Mm-hmm. There are 7 official grapes in Champagne, 3 of which are commonly used, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Meunier. And Chardonnay being one of the white grapes of Champagne, this is all Chardonnay.
Well, given that holiday season is almost upon us, not only does Champagne make a great gift, but it's also perfect to put on the table. But I think sometimes people are a little intimidated to put Champagne with, let's say, a Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I think people think of Champagne as just a starter and not something that you can put necessarily in the middle of
with the meal.
Champagne is, honestly, if you ask pretty much almost any sommelier, anybody that really, really knows the restaurant and wine world, champagne is the perfect accompaniment for almost every single course and any single food. You're looking at pairings with anything fried, French fries, fried chicken, pizza, burgers, Mexican food. Literally
champagne
anything.
It's just good.
It goes with literally almost everything.
You've got a receptive audience in her.
Yes.
That's right. She
yeah, the smiles when
it.
I showed up this morning with
That's
champagne.
Right.
We're kind of on the big
right.
side.
All right. Thanks. Well, we'll get back to you in a couple of minutes. I want to remind everybody we're on Instagram. You can watch the show there at Nikki Nellis, NYCCI.
We're on a little bit of everything today. We're sort of playing around. We're going to do a little Facebook Live. We're going to do a little Insta story. We're going to do a little IGTV. So we're just going
to. Just trying to see if anybody's awake out there.
Figure it out.
Very good. All right. So, Timothy Lowry.
Hi.
You are the general manager of an upscale marketing behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed-use property. You've got a hotel. You've got fabulous condos. You've got an unbelievable mix of retail. Why don't you give us the 411 on City Center, D.C. for everybody?
Well, First, David and Nikki, thank you so much for having me here and some of our retail represented here today. We're delighted
to be
here.
You're well-dressed retail representatives. Yes, look at these guys.
Well, as it should be, right?
Right.
Well, I said to them when they came in, I said, man, it's radio, man.
But that's okay. They look good. You could take a page from their books. Go ahead.
It's our first fight.
Well, so City Center DC, you know, it's an amazing place. Mm-hmm. It's a place where every day we're very focused on experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the predominant things that we focus on is how can we make the experience of dining, the experience of shopping, the experience of going to the hotel, the experience of going to an event, the experience of just coming to downtown DC. How can we make that experience elevated and something that makes people want to come downtown or come to City Center?
Well, let's back up a little bit because City Center sort of came out of the ground of where the old convention center was. So for a very long time in the middle of the city, like as Penn Quarter began to blow up and then these other areas like, you know, Shaw and Bloomingdale and Detroit, like there were all these areas, Navy Yard, et cetera, that were starting to gain traction and people were opening up restaurants and a little bit of retail, maybe 14th Street. And the City Center had a very had a very specific idea in mind, especially when it was taking over. What is it, like a four block? It's a four block.
It's 10 acres.
OK, so I mean, it's a tremendous piece of property. It's where the old convention center was. What was the initial idea behind it? How did it sort of sprout up from the ground?
Well, as you mentioned, Nikki, back in the late 90s, the convention center in downtown D.C. had become obsolete. Mm-hmm. So the city began searching for a new location. It wound up being a couple blocks north mm-hmm. of where it was back in the day. And that left a very large pad of property in a central business district in the nation's capital. Mm-hmm. It was 10 acres, four mega blocks.
I mean, and it was just
it was a parking
space.
Lot. It was a parking
isn't
lot for
amazing?
A long time.
Isn't that amazing? Think about that.
I remember when we first started building, we'd get calls from people upset because they used to catch the Bolt bus there.
Yep.
Or whatever, you know. And so
there
suddenly,
was parking. There
now
was
suddenly,
parking.
You know, it's walled
How
up.
How dare and, you keep me from the Bolt bus?
So obviously that was not the highest and best use, obviously, mm-hmm. for the space. Mm-hmm. So the city actually went out early on in the early 2000s with an RFQ and followed by an RFP mm-hmm. for a developer, a real estate commercial developer to build their vision of a street activated mixed use development. Mm-hmm. Our company, Hines, which is the company that built City Center, the company that I work for out of Houston, Texas, obviously we responded, we won the bid, and at the end of the day, you now have two large office buildings, 458 rental apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. We have 216 luxury condominiums. We have about 300,000 square feet of luxury retail. We have a brand new 360-room Conrad Hilton Hotel mm-hmm. and 2 acres of common area that we program annually with all these special events.
But I want to jump in because I was involved in upscale retailing in D.C. in the early 90s and all that. And then it went away. And you not only had a hole there, you know, an empty pad where the convention center was, you really had Woody's was gone, Hex was gone, Garfinkel's was gone,
yes.
things. And a lot of the smaller retailers left. What research did you have that showed that there was an opportunity for something that's the top of the pyramid in every respect?
Well, I think just like the cyclical movement in real estate as it relates to all major markets, you know, we were very much aware that there was a cycle coming where people would move back downtown and that people would become more acclimated to living in that area. So that was part of the demographic that we looked at, knowing that there would be people down there looking for a certain type of retail.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off because we have to take a quick break. Sure. But when we come back, we're going to get into the holidays at City Center DC. And there are beautiful clothes and jewels in studio. And we're going to talk about all of that. We'll be back in just a sec.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Timothy Lowry, who is the general manager, the capo di tutti capi at City Center DC. What's interesting, you know, there are 27 million or so people that come and visit the city every year. And, you know, some of them are just here to see the museums and the monuments and all that. But a lot we're missing.
I don't know who those people are. There's so much more to do here in the city than just museums.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't great shopping for a long time downtown.
That's absolutely
and that's
true.
another gap that's filled now in a huge way. I mean, let's talk about some of the stores you have down there.
Or well, why, or the why, really, why you went the route you did when you filled those stores.
Well, just as you mentioned, David, you know, part of the dilemma in downtown D.C. is for a certain demographic of people who are coming in to visit D.C., tourist, whatever. Maybe their husband is attending a medical convention at the convention center, whatever it is.
Or their spouse or wife.
Or their spouse or whatever.
Uh-oh.
You know, they're
you
really
almost bought it right there.
There really was no high street retail in Washington, D.C. And I've been saying for a long time, since before City Center even came out of the ground, that Washington, D.C. deserved its high street retail. It deserved that because the hotels would have to put someone in a town car and send them to Tyson's or send them to Chevy Chase.
Not that there's anything wrong with
nothing
it.
Nothing wrong with Tyson's, nothing wrong with Chevy Chase. There was just a lack of proximity.
Yes.
And so when we were doing our research, not only the demographics that would return to live in D.C., but the demographics that would visit D.C., we quickly realized that there was an appetite and, you know, a market there for high-end retail.
So, but City Center DC to me was one of the first real estate concepts in a city to do sort of a city center, right? So you would go out to the suburbs and have these, you know, like
town
a Pike
centers.
And Rose, these town centers. And the way City Center DC is sort of structured is in a town center, you know, kind of way.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? Was that the plan when you guys were doing it?
It was. We built it in a manner in which, you know, it's the buildings are not all alike.
Mm-mm.
They're all unique. So it feels like you're in the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't all look alike. We structured the buildings that when you're walking down the middle of the project, which is called Palmer Alley, the buildings are set back and tiered in a way that aren't these looming boxes that you have on other streets in Washington, D.C. So there was a lot of thought. We built a plaza. We built a park. There's a lot of thought that was
the
given.
Fountains and the fountains
the
huge graphics.
And all those things that go on. There's a video wall that you're referring to that we call the Gateway. It's all of those things that make being in that geographic area unique and special and conducive.
But you also did something that was really cool, and that was you took a chance on some, I mean, there's some stores there that are you know, global brands, you know, high, top of the mountain. Amy Brandwine opens up Centralina there. That was her first restaurant. And you took a flyer on her. And, of course, she has hit the ball way over the fence.
Way over the fence.
And, of all the things, you know, what is it? Great Republic.
The Great Republic.
You know, I think there are
well,
other stores.
Well, you're Del Chezza. You have a real mix of local national and international. I mean,
that's
don't you
it.
Think you have to do that?
I think you do. And to be honest with you, when we were first planning the project, I think a lot of the plans, you know, we thought there would be, you know, a lot of local representation. But as it evolved, a lot of the luxury brands wound up coming to City Center. And there's some really wonderful stories that we could talk about at some time when we have time about some of these CEOs that came and their ideas of what it was going to become, including Hermes, which was kind of the trendsetter for City Center DC. But we also wanted a mix of local, and that's where you get Amy Brandwine, Centralina, and Piccolina.
I feel like Hermes should be in here too, I'm just saying.
We would love to have
them. I'm so glad they're not here.
Well, so let's talk about the programming, because what I think is really interesting about new sort of real estate in general, whether it's a condo building or City Center DC or other large real estate entities, is that there is programming. It's not a build it and they will come mentality. It's a build it and we will entertain you. So let's talk about what you guys have coming up.
Well, the thing that you're really talking about is there's a shift to what I call an experience economy versus just a pure consumption economy. People are spending money and they're looking for experiences. So that's something from the very beginning. When we were planning City Center, we built an infrastructure, stage lights on the top of our buildings, focusing down on the plaza. We built in all kinds of different interfaces that we would need to do these moments.
Well, even the, you know, the seasonal sort of, you know, whether it's the beach balls or the leaves or whatever you have.
Or like making it snow.
We recently did make it snow. You know, the truth of the matter is we wanted to partner with the Cherry Blossom Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year that we did anything over Palmer Alley, we had our own engineers put up on lifts these cherry blossom lanterns, these pink lanterns, and it went viral.
Yes.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people took a photograph there. And so that let us know very quickly that there was that appetite for that. So we now do four seasonal installations a year.
As an Instagrammable moment.
Yes.
You know, in this current
That's
culture.
It.
that's what people want. It's gold. They want to, you know, what's the point of being there if you can't take a picture and show that's everybody?
It didn't happen
there.
If it didn't happen on Instagram.
It didn't right? happen, exactly. So what's some of the programming you have coming up for the holidays? Because I know you do a huge tree lighting celebration every year after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so we love the holidays at City Center DC, and we love dazzling people with all the different things that we do. So the big kickoff for us for the holidays is November 30th. Mm-hmm. That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And it'll be our sixth annual holiday tree lighting celebration.
Wow.
And so we're excited about that. We have a beautiful 75-foot tree, one of the tallest trees in the city, 150,000 lights, 4,500 ornaments. We Unyang, the anchor from NBC4, will be there. And we have DC's very own three-time nominated and two-time Grammy Award-winning choir, the Washington Chorus, will be singing holiday songs, and it's just going to be an amazing moment. We had about 5,000 people there.
Last year the weather was not good.
It rained cats and dogs literally last year. So it was not the best, but the year before we had about 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. So we're believing for an amazingly beautiful night on December 30th to light the tree at City Center.
I'll guarantee it for you.
And then
can we talk about
like all the stores are participating that evening? What happens?
We invite all the stores to have their own activations, whether it's, you know, it's some champagne, as we're talking about today, you know, before the tree lighting or after the tree lighting, or having a special moment, or some of the restaurants are having their own special menu. So everybody kind of collaborates together.
I just want to talk about two things before we move on. We have an ice maze.
Nikki, we are bringing in 110,000 pounds of ice, and we're building Washington, D.C.
We have that in the freezer in our back room.
Well, good. We may need to borrow some. We're building D.C.'s largest and first ever ice maze at City Center, D.C. So these walls are 7 feet tall.
How long does it last?
It'll last just a weekend.
Okay.
We built an igloo a few years ago.
I remember.
And 7,000 people lined up to see that igloo.
I remember.
But the weather was not conducive. That's the reason
it was really warm.
There's
right?
There's a reason why there aren't igloos in Washington, D.C., right? So we are going to build this. It is going to live in the park at City Center. It'll open on December 13th from 4 to 9, and it'll also be open December 14th and 15th from 10 to 9. Come out and experience the first ice maze in Washington history.
So much fun. And then lastly,
amazing.
Amazing, exactly.
And find your joy. That's your sort of hashtag for the season.
It is the hashtag for the season. We have a brand new consumer marketing campaign called Find Your Joy. You'll see a lot of images in Vogue and Vanity Fair and the local magazines. But we're also running a contest at City Center. So come to City Center, take a photograph, put it on Instagram, use the hashtag Find Your Joy DC, follow City Center DC on Instagram, and someone's going to win $500 for the best photograph of the season.
Cool.
Using Find Your Joy.
All right, well, get
I'm
going
to help Nikki find her joy right now.
Yes. Please
with
do.
Joshua Trusty and Felix Johnson. So Joshua is the store director at Carolina Herrera. Felix is the store manager at Alexis Bitar.
Let's start with Felix. So Felix, I'm wearing my beautiful earrings today from your store. I love them. And you're wearing something matching.
I'm wearing the pin.
You're wearing the gorgeous pin.
Collection.
Yes, it's
beautiful. Wearing a barrel because she bought those.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you feel like so bad for him?
So
for people who are not familiar with the brand, can we talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Alexis Bitar the story began in 1982 when he was 13 years old, and his parents gave him a collection of antique pieces, like a box of tangled jewelry. And he decided that he wanted to figure out what to do with it. You know, he was a really curious kid and decided that he was going to take those pieces, untangle them, make new things out of them, and sell them on St. Mark's Place in New York at 13.
Wow.
So he went through high school.
I feel like my children have not done enough with their lives. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah, our kids suck.
I feel bad for myself. I didn't do that at 13.
Our kids are a bunch of idiots.
Right. So then he goes through high school when he's about 19. He decides that he's going to move from St. Mark's Place and start selling in Soho. And from that point, he starts making hand-carved lucite, which is kind of the hallmark of our brand.
Right.
It's all hand-carved, hand-painted, and painted underneath. And he was doing that in his one-bedroom apartment, going on that street in Soho and selling it. And in 1992, he was discovered by Don Mello, who at that time was the fashion director for Bergdorf Goodman. And she's like, oh, my gosh, this is the most amazing thing ever. Because at that time, I don't know if you guys remember, jewelry was very minimal. It wasn't about being bold and making
statements. Well, in the 90s, absolutely. Yeah. You know, in the 80s, there was a lot of big, clunky stuff.
Yeah.
And then the 90s, everybody was, like, broke, so they just, like, right. got it right. It was like grunge. Right. They were like, no jewelry.
Right, no jewelry, the simplest thing ever. And when she saw that, it was so bold and colorful and made so many statements. She's like, this is what we need in Bergdorf. So mm-hmm. that was the beginning of his career in Bergdorf Goodman. And then fast forwarding to 2004, he opened his first store
his in first
Soho.
Brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And so how many brick and mortars are there now, like, across the country?
So we have 10.
Okay.
So we have 4 in New York, 3 in California, Boston, Chicago, and D.C.
I think it's so interesting because people keep talking about the death of retail, but yet you guys mm-hmm. are opening more, and you carry a very you actually don't carry a specific look because the jewelry is expanded. It's no longer just Lucite, right? So, like, let's talk about... You know what? Why don't we take a break first, and then we'll talk about the pieces you brought in today and some of the fabulous things we can do for the holidays. Is that cool, Brian? Can we take a break? Excellent. This is David and Nikki Nellis. It's getting merry in the studio. We'll be back in just a sec.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I want to say that Joshua Trustee from Carolina Herrera couldn't stand the fact that Felix had the mic, so he put Nikki in one of the designer's dresses, and it looks great.
And it's beautiful.
And our kids are going to...
Not go to college.
Not go to college. How the hell with them? They're a bunch of idiots.
But before we get back to Jewel's talk, we're going to pop another Jewel.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What are we drinking?
Today.
There we go.
Next bottle up is Veuve Clicquot Yellow Label.
Nice.
So Veuve has such a big name. You know, whenever people see it on the menu, they just order it because they know it. But what do you think about the wine?
Oh, I love the wine.
Okay.
This is honestly one of the biggest and best food pairing wines. It mm-hmm. is very Pinot Noir driven.
Okay.
So.
What's not to love? When we got to Tortola, that was the first thing we did.
Yes, it's true. I know. I mean, I hear you.
Yeah.
But it's just such a recognizable brand, right?
Absolutely.
That this doesn't make it bad.
Madame Clicquot and was probably, to my knowledge, the first international businesswoman of the modern era.
Okay.
She built her house up from almost the ashes and ended up creating and inventing three things that we still use today in champagne making. This mm-hmm. is, she was doing this back in the early 1800s. So she invented the modern method for making rosé, clear champagne, and vintage champagne.
Which ashes? Napoleon's ashes? Whose ashes?
It was not an easy time for business back in the day.
Her husband died
when
women.
Her husband died when she was 27 years old, left her with a small child, and she ended up taking over the family business and turning it from textile and banking into champagne. She really, really. There's a book called The Widow Clicquot, which is a very, very entertaining read about her life story.
Oh.
She's truly inspiring. It's
cool.
It's absolutely incredible. Her life story is amazing.
Excellent. All right. Well, while you're pouring that, everybody, if you didn't finish the other one, I don't know what's wrong with you, then either drink up or dump, and let's try the next one.
We have a line of Ubers out front. Don't worry about it. So,
okay,
Felix, let's get back to you and talk
Felix,
about...
So, Felix, for the holidays, what is the shop sort of putting out there?
So we actually have a new collection that we just debuted a little while ago mm-hmm. called Asteria Nova.
Okay.
So it's based on inspiration from the 50s and 60s space exploration, the whole Sputnik idea,
mm-hmm.
and we use that because we still have that desire to discover space exploration.
Right.
So this is kind of our take on that Sputnik idea.
So we have, like, moon rocky? Like, what are we thinking?
So the Sputniks were the satellites that they used to explore. So this mm-hmm. is a take on it. So it has that dome shape. It has a different crystals, navette-shaped crystals. We use a pink zirconia.
I feel like I can't see it all the way over there, and you should send that my way.
Please,
so
don't.
I can get a closer
don't.
Look
stop,
at
stop
it.
Stop that, man.
Don't you think? Oh, look.
Sputnik was the first Russian satellite.
I just want to say,
yeah,
in a second, I will be wearing almost everything that's available at City Center.
Do these windows open? I'm leaving.
Some of it is mine. Not all of it. This
so
is
that's
stunning.
Our Sputnik cocktail ring.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Sputnik statement necklace as well to go with it. Actually, it would mm-hmm. look great with that dress you're wearing.
Of course it would.
Yeah. God in heaven.
Okay, you can stop complaining now. But so you are also really known for your Lucite pieces,
yes.
obviously, because it's the original. What are some of the things that you're showing this year, this season for the holidays and, like, just for winter and fall as accompanying pieces?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, as
that
you said, Lucite is something that we do for every collection. It's the hallmark mm-hmm. of our brand.
Right.
And we introduce colors for each season. So for this new winter collection, chocolate is the color, along with Pacific blue.
Beautiful.
This really deep blue here. Mm-hmm. And then a wisteria purple. So
which
those
is
are
what
three
I'm
colors.
Wearing.
And also a ivory as well to complement the chocolate.
Excellent.
So this is our Nevet Crystal Chocolate Lucite bangle, which is definitely a statement.
Talk about some of the price points too, so that people have
so
an idea.
So this bangle is $395. Mm-hmm. So it's chocolate. As I mentioned before, it's all hand carved, hand painted, backed in enamel. These crystals are set by us. And we have as well a cool bangle set. Most of our bangles are solo, but we did a set this season. So you get a lucite, and that Pacific blue also comes in black. Mm-hmm. And it comes along with a crumpled gold bangle as well.
That,
so you can start
the
your own
gold
set.
Bangle yeah. is fabulous, and I love it with the lucite.
Yeah, and you can wear it solo or wear them together, stack them up with other bracelets, and that's only $225 for both of those.
For both?
Yeah, for both.
My God, you're like saving money at this point. That's fabulous. Yeah, this is an amazing gift.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like when you're really looking for something different to give to, like, especially the woman who you think has everything, this is something that they will wear over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really beautiful.
And speaking of gifts, I did pick a couple pieces that are my favorites for gift giving for
the
holidays.
Hear it.
So this is what we call our crystal lace orbiting cuff. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect because it's very simple. It's chic. It can be stacked, but it can be worn alone. So it's for that woman that may not want to make a big statement every day, but she wants to be a part of this.
I mean, I don't know who that woman is, but go ahead. Right.
But feel free to try it.
Okay.
And that's only at $175. So it comes in yellow gold tone, rose gold tone, ruthenium tone, and also in silver tone. So it comes in a wide variety of metal tones. And it has that cool movement, too.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
This is a gorgeous, gorgeous piece.
And my other favorite is, I'm actually wearing them, too. So it's the golden studded encrusted studs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. Has a really cool shape. Has multiple stones. And then this cool kind of spiky look. And that's
cool.
Great, too. It's only $125.
So you have a lot of items that are reasonable.
I'm going to say, for a guy who is cheap as advertised, the prices on these are great. That bracelet, the chocolate bracelet with the gold is stunning.
Yeah, it's amazing. Beautiful. And then speaking of prices, I actually picked a few of my favorites that are under $100. We actually have those.
Okay.
So this is one of the great things. It's our pyramid pendant. It's really cute. It goes with everything. You can wear it every day.
Everybody in studio is like,
yeah,
wait,
like,
I can't
wait,
see.
I want that.
Hold
and
that
this
up.
Is only $95.
Okay.
And this comes in the yellow gold, the silver, and also gunmetal and those three tones.
Okay.
So that's a great one.
So there's lots of options. Please tell everybody where they can find you so we can get to Carolina Herrera next.
So you guys can find me. I'm on Palmer Alley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 984 Palmer Alley. And check us out. We also have great events. And quickly, speaking of the tree lighting, we're doing a $1,000 gift card raffle.
Okay.
If you come during the tree lighting on the 30th from 6 to 9.
Excellent. Thank you, Felix.
All right. Don't forget my face, Felix.
Joshua, come on up to the mic, please.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Joshua, right. Trustee, store director.
Can we talk
director?
A little bit about, actually, Can you introduce him? Yes.
Okay.
Joshua Trustee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Trustee, yeah. I'm
store
the store
director.
Store
Herrera.
Director
from
Carolina Herrera.
Exactly.
I was fortunate enough to be with the first store that introduced Carolina Herrera here in the D.C. area.
Oh, wow. So you got to meet her.
I got to meet her,
That's
which
amazing.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about her background and how all this happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So Carolina Herrera, for those of you guys who don't know, she is a Venezuelan-born designer, but the fashion house, the line, is a New York brand fashion line. So when Fashion Week goes off in New York City, we are one of the top designers that showcases. But she got her start essentially. She was, you know, for some of you guys who don't know, she was Andy Warhol's muse. She she was, you know, the it girl of the moment. I mean, she was
she's
going
still pretty
to,
much an
she
it
still
girl.
Is. She
I mean, she's one of
she's
the most glamorous
she
people.
She is an icon. Period. Mm-hmm. And no one can attest to that. And so, you know, she was Andy Warhol's muse. She was known for just this amazing style. And in 1980, she started her first fashion line, 1980, and she started showcased at the Metropolitan Room in New York City. And ever since then, I mean, she's dressed essentially all of the first ladies. You have Obama, Michelle Obama. You have Jacqueline Kennedy. All of them. She dressed princesses.
But she had a very specific I mean, obviously her look has evolved to stay current, but there is something about a lot of the lines.
Timeless.
Right? That are really timeless, whether it's the way the gowns are cut or the fabrics that she uses.
Exactly. So, I mean, the thing about Catalina Herrera is that it's her pieces are timeless and they're classic. So she's not necessarily, I wouldn't consider the line to be trendy because...
No, but they're sexy. Exactly. It's like sophisticated... Classic,
yes.
Sexy, trendy.
Yes, exactly.
People talk about investment pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, this is very first world that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. This is not open to everybody. But Carolina Herrera has those pieces that when you purchase one, it's forever.
Yeah, they're investment pieces.
Right? You're going to be able to wear them. I mean, like I mentioned to you, I have a piece from the 80s that I still...
You can still wear. It's still relevant, and I'm sure you still feel just as beautiful as you did the moment that you put it on.
It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece.
Exactly. So CH Catalina Herrera is the lifestyle brand. So the Catalina Herrera is the main fashion line. I mean, those are the pieces where you have the wedding dresses. These are the pieces that the first ladies wear. CH is the lifestyle brand. So it's for that same woman who, you know, needs pieces to go to work, needs pieces maybe for a wedding or for a gala. DC is huge with galas here. Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch
of
those.
And we are in gala season.
Season
right now.
Just so you know. So yeah, we have a bunch of those pieces here at the store, and that's what this brand is.
But you brought in a bunch of really first of all, I'm wearing something absolutely glorious right now. Tell me what I'm wearing.
So you are wearing her evening gown piece. It is a yellow lace dress with the taffeta bow. And taffeta is iconic in her line.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the taffeta bow can be changed out. You can wear it.
So back in, by the way. It is. Style is in right now.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a wraparound dress. It's beautiful lace. This is going to be our evening wear dress. I think it's also really perfect for like wedding season, especially if you're going to wedding season outside. I think it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to upstage the bride. However, you do want to stand out.
I have no problem upstaging.
Okay. You probably will in that.
Son just got married in May. You should have seen that outfit.
I won. So let's just talk about some of the other things that you brought in today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to pick out some pieces that I think are really great for gift giving. And this is a shout out to the guys. So please pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the gentleman who is buying, you know, looking in search for the perfect gift for the woman, just do a little bit of research. Or girlfriend, you guys.
Girlfriends.
Just do a little bit of research. You know, go in her closet, find out what sizes her dress is. You know, I think really easy gifts, you cannot go wrong with jewelry, with accessories, purses, and shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are always really, really easy. Come in with a few pictures of her and let us kind of like go to the associate and be honest. Look, I'm buying it for Christmas gift or holiday season. This is a few pictures. These are her sizes. What do you think? And trust us, we will pick the perfect gift.
So I don't think a lot of people know about the purse line.
No, they don't. So we have a lot of accessories. Her purses are all handmade in Spain. Beautiful Spanish leather. This one right here is our new collection called the Doma.
I love it.
Yep. Really, really beautiful. You have the lockable open here. With the suede inside. Again, all of the leathers are all Spanish leather. It's all handmade and beautiful. And again, her first collection was shown at the New York Metropolitan Room. So I actually also bought one of my favorite clutches.
That's beautiful.
This is the Metropolitan Clutch.
Stunning.
It is all handmade Swarovski crystals. Opens up like a jewelry box. And then her initials as well kind of builds
like
the stand.
It looks like a jewel.
And the price point is?
I will tell you later.
Okay, the price point, but what about the handbag there?
Yeah, so the price point, honestly, for the bags are not expensive at all. I believe this one's $1,465 for the Doma bag, and the Metropolitan with all the Swarovski crystals is $1,600.
Okay.
And again, if you know Catalina Herrera and her price points, the CH brand actually is not that bad. Comparatively, exactly.
Absolutely.
And again, these are, like you said, timeless pieces.
Quickly, let's just talk about the jewelry that you brought in.
Yes. So the jewelry that I brought in, we have, again, like I said, for gift giving, you guys, I think sets are a really easy way to go, especially jewelry. So if you're going to get her a ring, ask her if it comes with any matching sets or pairs. A lot of the accessories that we have, they are costume jewelry. You know, they're all beautiful, handmade. You have the ring, get her the bracelet, get her the earring, and you are set, especially for gift giving.
Beautiful. Great ideas. Is there one more thing you have there before we take a commercial
absolutely.
Break? All right, let's do that. The shoes.
The shoes. So
I feel like that shoe would be kind of cool with this.
Well, Well, this is why I picked it. I picked everything. By the way, I'm so sorry, David. Everything is in her size.
So this is your last time on this show. So.
But I have another show. You can come on that show anytime.
So these, I mean, again, she has her beautiful heels and the shoes, and they're all made to match the ready-to-wear pieces. And her colors, her vibrant colors.
Super vibrant.
You know, it is very difficult to find shoes that match and go with the ready-to-wear pieces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely pick up the shoes. Ask the associate. Let them know, I'm picking up this dress. What do you think can go?
Well, it gives me great pleasure to stop Joshua right there. We're going to have to take a commercial break. But again, I want to remind everybody, there's so much happening at City Center DC on a regular basis. But now with the holidays coming up.
Right, we just brought in a little sample.
Yeah.
Beautiful sample.
Go on
down. Thank you both so much. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is David and Nikki Nellis. It's Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I do want to thank our sponsors, the folks that make this show possible. Our friends at ProFish, the best sustainable seafood anywhere in the world.
Very true.
Meat Crafters, Central Farm Markets, and some great restaurants, including Mirabelle and the about-to-open Brasserie Liberté in Georgetown, right?
Yeah,
next door to Cafe Milano. In 1 week,
the former Morton space.
Yeah, it's really going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're excited.
Thanks for sponsoring the show. So now...
Well, now I just want to say I'm in my next... version of Carolina Herrera. See it?
You're like a
peacock. We're missing moments here to take lots of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I'm getting my makeup done before you come in and my hair blown out so that I can take lots of photos.
Yeah, next time I won't be here. So, all right. So DC Brow and Think Local First DC are partnering for the 7th annual DC Brow Holiday Market on Small Business Saturday, which is coming up November 30th. DC Brow's Mari Rodell is in and Mel Afzal is in. She's the co-founder of Krampusnacht, D.C. And why don't we talk about the market in a second. Let's get past Krampus and Krampusnacht. Tell us a little about Krampus.
So Krampus is a Central European folklore,
mm-hmm.
Swiss Alps Germanic-based roots. Krampus is St. Nicholas's sidekick,
legitimate sidekick.
December 5th, every year, Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, and Krampus go out into the community, and St. Nicholas rewards the good kids, while Krampus takes away the bad kids to the lair. So they go into people's homes.
Whoa.
And oh, my God.
Surprise them and...
What is he doing?
It's a very well celebrated.
Does he eat them? What's he do with them?
We don't know.
But you don't be bad.
Don't be bad. Be good. So St. Nicholas rewards you. It is a very much big celebrated event in Central Europe.
Mm-hmm.
What we decided to do about 8 years ago, a bunch of us nerds who really love folklore and costuming got together and said, why don't we bring this here to D.C.
Okay.
On 8th Street Northeast. And that's how we originated in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, we paired up with Santa's Cause D.C., and they provide foster kids gifts throughout the year.
Mm.
And so we collaborated with them as a fundraiser.
I love that.
And this is the soft side of Krampus.
So we have grown in our 8 years to mm-hmm. where DC Brow is one of our major contributors and sponsors Krampusnacht DC. So every year we're on 8th Street with a family-friendly event. We do encourage people to bring their children,
mm-hmm.
their good and bad children.
Right. I feel like we should bring our puppy. She's bad.
So we have a huge community event every year, December 7th, on 8th Street Northeast, where all of our funds go to our benefactor, which is the National Center for Family and Children. And we do fundraising for foster kids. For the market, we'll be there we'll be there with Krampus, Krampus Lounge, a Naughty Nice Meter. We'll have a
Krampus Lounge.
So
does the Naughty Nice Meter work?
So we'll have it's technology.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be there with our meter. People can go up and decide, put their hand on it, and it decides if you're naughty or nice. And depending on what the answer is, depending on what you get to, who you get to visit with in the lounge.
Oh my God, I love that.
So let's transition over to Mari because I don't want to run out of time before we talk about the market. And DC Brow's role there. So hit it.
Yeah, so we're actually hosting our 7th annual. It's been 7 years.
I think you guys came on the first year that you were doing it, right?
Yeah. And we've been hosting it with Think Local First DC. And this is the first year we're actually partnering also with our new Main Street on Blainsburg Road. So that's really exciting for us.
Okay, what is that?
It's a Main Street program. It's throughout the country, and it basically... Mm-hmm. takes federal and local funds to support businesses on main streets. And DC has about 20 of them at this point.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what's going to be happening at this market this year?
Sure. So the market, every year we bring more and more vendors. This year, I think we have like 45 vendors, all local handcrafted items.
Like what, for example?
So we have Ballywick, who makes hats and really cool T-shirts. Mm-hmm. We've got Marcella Crabell, who does beautiful artwork and cookbooks. She focuses on Latin American cooking, and I have her cookbook here.
Oh, fabulous.
We've got jewelry vendors, and we've got a variety of styles this year. We've really kind of opened it up, and we have I have something here from Kacheco, who does some beautiful artwork, mm-hmm. And she kind of works it into her jewelry. It's gorgeous. We also have some food vendors. So we have a Pickled Heads. It's the first year that we've had them, and they make some really interesting pickles. We've mm-hmm. also got Jerk Face, Jerky, and there's
Jerk Face.
Jerk Face. They're local. They do really delicious flavors. We've got a lot of great vendors this year.
So how is it set up when people get there?
Sure. So people just enter in through the tasting room, and it kind of opens up into this market. There's music. Mm-hmm. We have a band playing. We also have a DJ. So it's a very festive environment. It's a free event to the family. So you can bring everyone. It's family friendly.
No dogs, though,
it gets so crowded.
No. It's
a little
smart.
Stressful.
You can't.
Yeah,
right.
But it's very family friendly. Lots of great, the Krampusnacht is really fun for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Feels like the Krampusnacht is really fun for the adults, but I hear
the
you.
Kids
yeah, the
like
kids
it,
like
actually.
It,
actually.
It's
pretty
good. Let's make sure everybody knows exactly where it is.
Yeah, it's at DC Brow. We host it. Basically,
address.
Every small...
Yeah, you need to tell people where DC Brow
is.
Okay,
so we're located at 3178B, which means the back of the building, uh-huh. Blainsburg Road Northeast. We're in D.C. We're off of Blainsburg. So
obviously people can come and drink beer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Your beer.
Yeah.
So like you guys always make special beers.
We do.
So what did you make this year?
We do. So this is actually not the beer that we're going to have this year.
Oh, okay. Any beer is good beer.
This is last year's version. So we're doing a Wake Up in the Future new version. It's not out yet. So I brought some to share.
That's okay.
But we have Wake Up in the Future. We've also got a very... special draft that we're making just for the Krampusnacht.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wassail. It's a small batch Christmas spiced ale that mm-hmm. we're going to have available just for the holiday market. And then we got some surprises that are going to pop up also.
So you can't tell us about the surprises?
Nope.
No.
Right.
Oh, my God. You're going to have to go and find out.
Let's wrap up with, again, it's on November 30th.
November 30th from 1 to 5 p.m.
At DC
Brow.
What
I think you should do is you should go to DC Brow, go for their market, get your holiday shopping started, and then head over to City Center DC for the Christmas tree lighting that evening. And then you can check out some other possible guests.
You.
All right. Well, thank you guys both
you.
For coming in. Where can people buy tickets quickly? Mari.
Oh, there's no tickets. You can get tickets online at DC Brow, our website.
Okay, but it's free.
But it's free. So,
you can just come.
Just come on down.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Chris, we got one
Chris,
minute.
Chris, let's do it.
1 minute. Moët & Chandon 2012 Rosé Champagne.
Oh, my God, my favorite. So a lot of people don't think of champagne as coming in vintages.
Vintages with global warming and climate change happening, there are a lot more vintages that are being declared. Mm-hmm. Champagne has a climate that is 200 plus days of rain. It is really cold, wet, and ugly in terms of the weather. So the grapes have historically struggled to ripen. So vintages were kind of few and far between. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you're looking at a lot of vintages, I think. And from 2009, there were eight declared vintages.
So like with this vintage, for example, is this something that you would cellar? Is there a reason to cellar a vintage champagne, or are you just supposed to drink it when you drink it? How does it work?
Both ways.
Both ways?
You know, if you want to cellar a champagne, and there's two different styles. There's a younger, fresher style, which is when the champagne is first released. It's mm-hmm. it's ready to go. You know, part mm-hmm. of the reason the champagne is a little bit more expensive than a lot of other things, that we keep the wine in the cellars for multiple years. This has been in the cellars for... This is a 2012 vintage. This
right.
just came out. So this has been in the cellars for 7 years.
I feel like you all should be drinking it before it goes away.
I'll make sure I leave the rest
of
the bottle.
So where can people find your products? Like, where can we find you? Where can we find your products before we wrap
up?
Know,
all these products, Moët, Veuve Clicquot, those are the two best-selling champagne brands in the world. Mm-hmm. So those are in pretty much any wine store.
And
Fleurnart as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, you mentioned Centralina's. Fleurnart Blanc de Blanc is by the glass there. So if you'd like to come in and try it, I do recommend the food.
I have no problem going back 2 days later.
Excellent. All right, great. All right. Thanks for joining us today.
You. All right, so everything you heard about on the show today, you can find more information and complete information on the listareyouonit.com, Nikki's website. Follow Nikki on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
How about letting me jump in here?
Why don't I let you jump in?
So everything you heard today can be found on the list, areyouonit.com. So can every food and wine event happening in the D.C. metro area. Of course, every Monday, you can hear me live on fullserviceradio.org for my other show called Industry Night. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking to Greg Angert. Greg, as you know, is a big, huge beer somm, but he is getting into food halls. So we're going to find out all about Neighborhood Restaurant Group and their food hall. And then next week, we have Jeff and Jill Erber coming in. Cheese Teak. They opened up a new property. It is glorious and ooey and gooey and delicious. And you're going to find out all about it. We want to thank all of our guests in studio today. They brought in such beautiful wares. Your holiday shopping is going to be super easy. And you can have a delicious week.